Welcome to the Draw.Biz Podcast, your weekly dose of fantasy footy content.
Welcome to the Draft Doctors, talking all things AFL Fantasy and Supercoach Draft. G'day, I'm Doss, and on the show this week, we have the Round 9 review, waiver wire pickups, our trade of the week, and a Captain Risky, finishing off with your listener questions. Now, I'm feeling a little worse for wear after watching Salibu Goatsy live in concert last night. I found the T there, Steve. But some of the fans will be disappointed that indeed Stevie Fizz is here again this week after some of the fans are a little fizzed out there, big fella.
Yeah, it makes sense. We all get a bit that way sometimes. I know I do, and certainly Mrs. Fizz does. But g'day to all the listeners, and just for the listeners who might not be aware, Dossie over here is a staunch vegetarian, which I support completely. But obviously on the weekend we had our federal election, and Dossie, what's the vegetarian equivalent of the democracy sausage? Is it democracy carrot? Is it a democracy kale smoothie? What goes on there?
I have no idea. I tend to try and avoid all those people at the election day and just come in the back entrance and do my voting that way. But it was a little victory there for Cam getting up, but he was unfortunately hoping that Clive Palmer got in, but he wasn't successful there. But g'day, Cam. How are you up in the Queensland there?
Yeah, good. I feel like I'm a little bit of the odd one out up here, you know, because I actually can read and do those sorts of things. But, you know, hello to our Queensland listeners. I'm sure you're lovely people.
Jono is also back on deck this week, refreshed after a couple of weeks off, and no doubt pumped that Bailey Smith notched his first Supercoach ton on the weekend. G'day, Jono.
G'day, Doss. G'day, listeners. Yeah, apparently there was football over on Saturday, but I wouldn't know because I was that hungover attending the Great Australian Beer Spectacular on Friday, doing two sessions, so Saturday didn't exist for me, and yeah, I'll talk about the footy later on.
Awesome stuff. Well, on to our Round 9 review, and all things we noticed this weekend, starting with the West Coast Melbourne game at Optus Stadium, Cam.
Yeah, so the first point is that Elliot Yeo is back, but be cautious. So we know he's an absolute weapon. We all sort of flag him in the preseason as being sort of that pick 10 to 14 range. And so it's great that owners are starting to see some kind of a return for that sort of range. He's got a three-game average of 127 at the moment, which makes him one of the form players of the entire competition. But the caution I'd like to urge is that, and actually he might be a great sell-high option at the moment. This year's game and the changes that were made have resulted in a lower number of tackles across the board. As a result, some of our really tackle-friendly players, like Devon Smith, and yeah, sure, there's been other factors with him, but some of our really tackle-friendly players have seen a dip in their scoring. My point is that in Yao's great run, he's dropped massive tackle numbers. Like, both his 140, so this week and 2 weeks ago, he went 12 and 16 tackles for each of those. So whilst he's, you know, back a little bit, he's not been pumping out scores based on disposals. His disposals across the board this season, he's hit 30 once, right? So he's not getting as much ball. It's probably an unsustainable tackle count. I just don't think he can maintain such effective scoring. And if you do own him, maybe it's a great sell-high option.
I don't know, mate. Like, unless you're in a stacked team, doesn't it seem like or one of the premier inside-outside ball winners in the competition, say a Matt Crouch or something like that, doesn't it feel that you're going to have dips and low like scores like that?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think the problem is, though, being so reliant to have a big score or be completely reliant to make a big score on tackles, I don't think is a good thing to be this year.
I tend to disagree, though, in terms of like selling high. I mean, he's had a couple of big scores, but I'd still tend to think that he is going to be a great scorer. Like, he was down on his production before that, and I think we like guys that can get 25 to 30 touches and 5 and 5. I wouldn't expect, obviously, 10 to 16 tackles or whatever he's been getting lately, but I do expect maybe his marks as well could be sustainable. I'd be pretty happy, with Elliot Yeo's production. I think he'll be awesome from here on out. Was there anything else there you noticed, Cam?
No, it was mainly just Elliot Yeo.
Well, I got something. Can we start hashtag Goodwin out? Because Angus Brayshaw, watching this game, I haven't been able to really see much footy from Melbourne for the last couple of weeks. And just seeing his role in this game, it's absolutely what you guys have been harping on about. He's just being told, stay on the outside, don't go in there. It seems like every time there's a contest, even if he's on the wing, I know he's playing wing, but he just gets pushed out there. They're just like, go on, Gussie, get out of here, mate. Get out. We want you on the outside. And this is just disgusting for owners. And we seriously need some change there. Like, how are you running your Vineys and your captain, like Nathan Jones? Like, what are you doing? Goodwin out. Let's get the T-shirts produced, Stevie.
Yeah, I actually think it's a great point, but I also think it's a great opportunity for non-Brayshaw owners right now. Like, they went this way after the first 3 weeks. Things weren't working for Melbourne. They tried to mix things up, got Nathan Jones back inside. You've got to remember, five of Brayshaw's first six games were fantasy tons, and like, I don't think... Like, Melbourne aren't exactly beating teams up. Like, think this could change straight back. Like, the only thing is that they've got tough opponents over the next 3 weeks, so I'm hesitant to go out and buy him right this second, but it might be your best opportunity, because as fantasy coaches, we don't know when that switch will happen. I just think it's going to happen. And the other thing is, you got to remember, they're getting some of their better defenders back, so I would expect Melbourne to maybe be a little bit more competitive, get some more transition ball. Like, we saw Jake Lever play in the VFL. Steve May, well, who knows what's going on there. So I think there is upside there, but I'd personally wait maybe a week or two with the tough matchups. But certainly if you wanted to go now, I think there's every chance an owner will sell low.
You're 100% right that you've got to pick your chance at the right time. And what if he goes back into the midfield next week and you've missed your chance? It's so hard to know. It's also hard to know at what point you could sort of do it in your team structure, because if you bring him in and he's still going to pump 60s and 70s for a few weeks, you could lose a few games out of that. And unless you're willing to bench him and you've got coverage or something like that when he's in this poor form, it's really tricky to know what to do with Gussie, but buying low seems to be smart. Just when to do it is going to be the question. All right, on to the Saints-Collingwood game you checked out there, Steve.
Yeah, so it was really interesting because I know Jono's been banging on about streaming defenders against the Saints in recent times, and you can absolutely see why. Although Collingwood didn't really have a heap of defenders score particularly well, Maynard was serviceable, but they actually won the inside 50 count against Collingwood and lost by 7 goals. Like, they can get the ball in there, no worries. They just have nothing going for them when it gets up there against the better teams. So one of my big questions is, I actually wonder, and this is a when/if situation with Jack Stephen and Dan Hannabury when they come back, who goes back inside 50? I've got to think it's Gresham, but it could be, you know, Billings has been playing on the wing, but they need a better quality of player inside forward 50 because they're just not getting the rewards. So until they maybe get some of the troops back, I'd certainly look to continue using defenders against them. Rowan Marshall, I noticed he got absolutely manhandled by Brody Grundy in terms of hit-outs and around the ground, but he still managed to put up 81 Dream Team and 90 Supercoach, so he seems pretty bulletproof from a matchup point of view as being a top forward, or if you're playing him in the rucks, a top ruckman. So I feel pretty good if you're a Rowan Marshall owner. The Pies are quite good. Dane Beams went straight back into the middle. And like I spoke about last week with teams having a highly concentrated midfield rotation now, it sort of seems like Collingwood are rotating the guys around the outside, if that makes sense. Like, they'll have Beams and Pendlebury and Wills at most of the centre bounces, and then you'll see your side bottoms and your Treloars and that come through. But those runners are really going through the wings quite a lot, so it's an interesting mix.
Yeah, I would like to flag something too on the St Kilda side of things that I sort of forgot about in the last couple of weeks. But Cam, it looks like I'm making some progress on one of our little carton bets here with our Jack Nunes. He's sort of edging closer towards that over-under that I gave you, isn't he there, Cam?
Well, I haven't seen his average because I stopped paying attention because I was so far ahead. Can you enlighten me? What's his average?
So after getting 54 and 51 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks, he's dipped down to 85.6 at the moment. So I think was it 82.5 or 83.5?
Yeah. 82.5, very tight.
So it's coming closer.
The interesting thing on Nunes is he got exposed like quite badly, I would say, by Collingwood's runners and was made to look pretty ordinary.
Yeah, so worrying signs going forward.
The average might not drop because he'll be in the twos.
Ooh, wow.
With that and the Dom off, it's just don't need my player to play.
I want to talk quickly about Luke Dunstan. I don't think it comes down to whether we can trust him. I think it comes down whether we can trust Richo. So he's been a good scorer in the past with a good role, but you just mentioned Hanbury coming back soon and the unknown of maybe Jack Stephen as well down the line. What the hell do you do as a Luke Dunstan owner? Do you just hold and, you know, hope that he can score for a few weeks and just when it comes time, if he loses the role, that you're just going to have to finish, you know, not using him in the end? Or is there some, can you possibly sell him higher? Do you reckon anyone would be taking that? Or would you have to just really hope you got a bit of a newbie on your team, on your league?
I'm not sure you have to trade him because I'm not sure he'll be the guy who goes. Like, Gresham's still in there, a stack, and Dunstan's playing well, man. Like, he really is. I know he's one of those guys who's like a fantasy player. Like, he knows how to play for fantasy. And maybe he's not the greatest player, but I think he's doing quite well. You could trade him high if you wanted, but I think that would have to look like Dunstan and an attractive piece to maybe go after. Maybe one of the guys I'll talk about later, but maybe it's a Brayshaw. You want to try straight swap Dunstan for Brayshaw. I reckon that'll get over the line in some leagues.
Yeah, well, I just, like I said, I'm not doubting Dunstan. I'm doubting the coaching situation. He's just never been trusted in that midfield. He's still, you know, he's still getting low time on grounds as well. So, you know, if someone like a Hunter Clark or something, if they want to give their youngsters a better go, as well as just keep pumping Gresham through there a little bit more, I'd just be wary. And I think this could be a sell high opportunity.
Well, he straight replaced Hunter Clark.
Yeah,
and he's performing a million times better.
I understand that. I'm just saying I've never been able to trust Richo and Dunstan. It's just not been a good marriage there for a long time.
That's fair.
All right. Well, the Crows fought back late, but Brisbane got a narrow victory up at the Gabba there. Jono, what tickled your fantasy from that game?
Yeah, it was actually a really good game of footy to watch in my hungover, comatose state. We did know Matt Crouch was originally named, but a late out, and you guys did flag on the show last week that both Brad and Gibbs would get the bump, and we did see that. If Matt Crouch got the same injury as Whitfield, we might be seeing him out for maybe another week. It just depends on how they're going to be going next week, especially against West Coast, and they might rush him back in. But if that's the case and Matt's missing, then Gibbs is going to get probably, again, more midfield time, and he was floating forward, kicking a couple of snags. He might be able to sell him off as a bit of a high candidate now that he's got a bit of currency, because he was just been absolute garbage at the start of this year. And Dane Zorko, man, this guy's really turned it around. The last 3 weeks. In the first 6 weeks, he only had one fantasy ton in both formats, and he's just gone ham the last 3 weeks, going massive 100s there. So if you were lucky enough to get him as a buy-low candidate, someone might have not been too happy with him. You've got yourself a real keeper there, because I think the stats came out after round 7. He averages like 115 for the rest of the year. So good on you if you got Dane Zorko. And this game just didn't have many stoppages. It was just a free-flowing contest, up and down, goal fee. So you see people like McCluggage and Berry, they didn't have as many possessions. That's because they weren't... as many tackles and that, there wasn't many stoppages, so that'll change next week when the Brisbane Lions are up against Fremantle and play their slow brand of footy. And Mitch Robinson, man, if you own him, you would have got him really late. He's returning big dividends for you.
Yeah, basically career high in fantasy and close, if not career high, in Supercoach so far for Mitch Robinson as well this year. Has he been taking anyone's midfield time lately, or has he just upped his scoring in the last sort of month?
No, he's just upped his scoring. He's not really playing midfield. He sort of floats up from the forward 50 and then just gets involved after the first 666. And basically, he's got free reign to do whatever the hell he likes. And kicking goals as well really helps his score as well.
Yeah, I've been a bit worried about Jared Berry's scoring of late as well. Was there any difference there? I didn't get to see this one. Was he still spending majority of time in the midfield?
Yeah, he was playing majority, a lot of time in the guts, and then also resting forward as well. So, yeah, I'm not too worried about Berry. I think you're going to get that with him and McCluggage, both still young. They'll have their moments. They'll score huge, and they'll put some more ordinary scores on the board as well.
You also checked out that Geelong Western Bulldogs game, Jono.
Yeah, despite the 40-point score at the end, it was actually a pretty close contest throughout the game. Jackson Trengove, we know what he's like. He's been a revelation. With Timmy English out, he took the ruck, and Reece Stanley was out, so he had full control again. But Timmy English should come back in next week against North Melbourne with the Doggies, so don't expect those scores to continue. Just temper them back a little bit, and especially against the might of Goldstein. They're going to be doing a 1-2 combination against him. Always a bit of chat about Josh Dunkley. Didn't score too well on the weekend. That's because he had 16 handballs of his 21 possessions. So not going to get too much of a fantasy score that by doing that. So I'm not too worried about him. He was still there taking the CBAs. Toby McLean and Livis seem to be the ones rotating the forward midfield time. So Bevo's really happy with Dunkley in the forward there. And the Cats, they've got the best attack and defence stats at the moment. Can we actually legitimately put Gary Rowan in our teams going forward? Because he's been pretty... I'm getting a big nod from Steve because it's...
Gold Coast on deck.
On Gold Coast. I was just looking to see if... Oh, well, Gary Rowan, he's a streamer this week.
Yeah, I want to give a little bit of respect as well to the scoring chameleon, is what I'm calling him, Mitchie Duncan. He's been able to adapt his game and managed to be a productive fantasy scorer in multitude of roles now going across a few years. So 2017, that awesome breakout premium fantasy year, he averaged 115 AFL fantasy and 110 super coach. That was with 29 disposals, nearly 7 marks and 5 tackles. So last year, it was a bit of a down year compared to that one. So Tim Kelly and Gaz came in, took a lot more of the inside mid-time. He moved on the outside even more, still managed to average 26 disposals, 6 marks, 3 tackles. But he certainly wasn't that premium midfield option. But this year, averaging fewer disposals again, 25 a game, great efficiency as well. But he's upped his marking to 9.1 marks a game, and they're nearly all uncontested. So aside from Lockie Whitfield, that is the second most marks in the league by average. Now, is it the new wing role and this new 666 sort of open gameplay really made for him, or are these scores just super inflated at the moment and we're going to see a bit of a tail off down the line?
I think with Duncan, he's spending a lot of time off halfback as well. That's why I think his disposal efficiency is getting so high. He's doing a lot of that sort of chipping around, getting marks, doing little kicks. There's every chance, like if you have a look at his positional heat maps and sometimes where he gets named on the halfback, you know, there's a pretty strong case for DPP for him. And that's, like, amazing for an owner to get a defender at 110.
I mean, that would be a game changer. I don't know. They don't sometimes... I would have thought he'd been playing a lot of wing, but I guess they do have a lot of options floating through there. I just think it's phenomenal. He's been able to just score in a bunch of different ways, but, I mean, having an absolute massive year, 111 average in basically in Supercoach and AFL Fantasy. So shout out if you drafted him. Very well done. He's proving awesome this year. So Cam, what did you see from the Essendon Fremantle game apart from that solid late week pickup of Mason Redmond as suggested by yours truly?
How'd he go? What was his score?
79 AFL Fantasy. Pretty solid.
That's quite solid. So the first thing I noticed, and on the DPP theme, the role, like David Zaharakis has been pretty poor all year from a fantasy perspective. And then this year, he had a massive, massive game. And it was, I think, a little bit of a switch in role, or he's starting to become adapted in that role. I haven't actually watched too much Essendon all year, but seeing him sort of run off the halfback for the majority of the game, he was really good, like really, really good. And, you know, there's still 3-ish games to go before the new DPPs arrive for AFL Fantasy. There's a very good chance that he builds up enough data to ask him to make the switch. Now, the second one is more about the waffle, actually, but good news for those that picked up Rory Lobb. because Sean Darcy was injured in the WAFL this weekend. So there's, you know, whilst Rory Lobb was holding down his position as the sole ruck for, yeah, he's going to keep on going. So I think it looks like a 3 to 4 weeker that he'll have absolutely no pressure from Sean Darcy. Kyle Langford is a name for someone who looks at a free kick and runs the other way, but he only managed the 74 in his return game. But what impressed me was the volume of ball that he managed to get, right? So he didn't score too well. And again, it was that sort of high handball to kick ratio that kept it down. But he got 24 disposals. I mean, he's playing that sort of Devin Smith role or filling in for Devin Smith while he's out. But there's probably a few more weeks where he can maybe build up a case to maintain the spot and someone else get dropped for Devin when he's ready. As a mid-forward, like with that volume, you can kind of expect 74 to 95 every week.
Yeah, that was something I flagged on Thursday before teams dropped. And again, the concern was the low time on ground. So that's might be his obstacle.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's because he's not the best player in the team. And so they don't need him to play a lot of minutes. But if he's racking up 24 disposals, I'm pretty happy to have him as a F5 or an F6.
Yeah, awesome stuff there, Cam. So was that all you noticed there from that game? I would like to get your opinion on how you thought Connor Blakely went in his return. Only the 71 Dream Team and 88 Super Coach points there in 77% time on ground.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that, actually. I thought he was okay. He's probably going to be a little bit rusty coming off such a big injury. And then, you know, so he missed a little bit of preseason, hasn't played any high caliber footy. Actually, it was good that he came up against the Bombers first. It's not the hardest run around, and I'm okay with 71. I think he'll build over the next few weeks.
Yeah, awesome stuff. All right, well, I think we'll get on to the next game, and it was a late replacement, meaning that Ryan Clark came in and guided the Swans to a narrow victory against the Kangaroos, Steve.
Yeah, it was good. Just 200 fantasy points below what he's been scoring in the NEAFL each week, but I did just want to start off by saying that I would be cagey about playing tall forwards at the best of times these days, but especially against the Swans, their defense looked absolutely stacked down back. Nothing was getting through that. They looked great. But yeah, obviously, as Dossie touched on, the big one was the laid out of JPK. Ryan Clark got a reprieve and came in for Sydney and played a defensive role on Sean Higgins and actually did a pretty good job, kept him to a score in the 60s, which was Higgins' worst of the year. The thing that was really interesting was it completely freed up George Hewitt to just do what the hell he wanted, and do what the hell he wanted he did. He scored 93 Dream Team, 127 Supercoach, 20 contested possessions, if you don't mind, as well as 9 clearances, which, I mean, he was in absolutely everything, played extremely well, and certainly was one of the leaders of the Sydney midfield, which really needed a great performance after Zach Jones did the ham bone in this match and may keep him out for a few weeks. We don't really know. Cam will do his injury report this week. But if they're keeping Zach Jones out, they might be able to keep this setup rolling with JPK sliding straight back in. I mean, it'd be pretty amazing because Hewitt certainly had his moments over the last few years, especially when he was listed as a forward and he was playing that tagging role. It was always a nice option. So I'm certainly interested in that. Clark didn't really do that much scoring-wise, as we all predicted, Doss. But it was nice to see him get around. Didn't look too bad. But he actually did a really good job. So that might be something they look to continue going forward. And also the Tom Papley away form continues.
I was just going to say, are we sure JPK comes straight back in with that elite role there from Ryan Clark? Just quietly.
Well, Clark wasn't even starting in the middle. So.
And also, who flagged George Hewitt as a nice pickup a couple of weeks ago and was laughed out of the room by the very man who's pumping out right now?
Me. Well, laid outs, Doss. Laid outs, son. Didn't crack a ton in your stupid form of the game, so let's just pump the brakes a fraction.
I did put a super coach tint on it, though. But anyway, Jono?
With the Higgins tag, did that free up Zeebel to go full ham? I didn't see much of this game, so just by seeing his scores, it looked like he had actually his own ball pretty much, so... Just wondering what you
yeah,
thought
he did.
Yep.
Just... Yeah, and even Hewitt was matched up on Cunnington, I thought, a lot of the time. And, you know, like, I mean, Cunnington's a very good player, so I sort of thought Zeeble was amazing. Yep. Like, he was just in absolutely everything.
And your boy, the Dawson, scored well again.
Yeah, Dawson was interesting, and he was playing sort of forward, but in the last quarter when Sydney had a really comfortable lead in this game. They played really well to sort of play the loose man in defence. They sent Dawson back to stem the flow, and he slotted up pretty nicely, to be honest.
Yeah, certainly did.
He plays everywhere. And do you think he actually could be a crack at a DPP? Because he does spend most, like, a fair bit forward and then floats back. But is there a chance at this DPP forward, which would make him even more relevant?
Yeah, I think there is. I'm not going to say it's a Monty or anything like that, because, like you said, he's been everywhere. But, yeah, he certainly scores in a variety of ways, which I like. Can win his own ball, find space, all the things you like from a fantasy player.
And 68% time on ground from Jed Anderson. I don't think we'll ever see much higher. 82% was the highest this year, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I thought maybe it was going to bump up a bit, but still managed the 111 fantasy and 115 super coach points in that limited time on ground.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty amazing. I woke up Sunday morning thinking we were going to have a new prime minister, but we didn't have that, and somehow Brad Scott is still in a job. So, shocking scenes. Unbelievable stuff.
Now, the next game, it was Braden Fiorini, my boy the GOAT, who racked up 38 disposals, pumped out 144 fantasy, 129 super coach in a display of genuine GOATness against the power there, Jono.
Yeah, well, his mother was a mutter, and he loves the slop, old GOATerini. He had a great day out. Sampaio Pepe, I thought with Ollie Wines going down injured that he would get more inside mid, but it looks like he was playing more outside today, especially with the rain. He was just running purely on the outside of the contest, waiting for anything to be dished out by Boak or Rocky. So I'm not too sure if that's much of a role change, but I haven't seen a lot of Port Adelaide this year, but he could be someone who plays that link-up role on the wing, just kick it to Pau Pepper, and he'll push it forward. So it's one thing I noticed there. And if your name is Lockie and you play for the Gold Coast, get him in your Supercoach teams, because Lockie Weller, he is the man. It seems as if Harbrow's taking the kick in. They're looking to get the ball to Weller, and he's just launching it from that defensive 50 with his booming kick. So he's getting the kicks and the marks. He's really good, and he's playing midfield as well. So defensive midfielder there in Supercoach, if you can find Lockie Weller on your waiver wires. He did miss a few weeks with an injury, so might be still sitting there if you can get him. So, but it was a wet game. It was really hard to take too much out of it. But the Gold Coast Suns, they are up and about. They're inside 50 pressure. They're going to cause some more upsets this year against a few teams that are, if you look, 5-10% off, then they will cause a few upsets and start to get some fantasy relevance there, especially Darcy McPherson. I think, Steve, you played him in our home league. He's really coming along, so one the Bulldogs missed out on.
Awesome pressure acts. He just lays tackles.
Really like Darcy McPherson, averaging like 6.5 tackles before today, and the slop obviously suited him down to the ground, certainly getting midfield time.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the weapon as well, Jono. How good was he? 93 fantasy, 116 super coach in his rookie season.
Who's that? Who's the weapon?
Connor Rosie.
Well, you got to have these people's names for new listeners out there who may not know who you're talking about, Doss. So it's hosting 101 here. But Connor Rosie, you know, he's a fantastic player. He's actually getting that midfield time that over Sampaio Pepe. So good for Connor Rosie.
Dusty was back to his best in the Hawthorn-Richmond game there, Cam. You check that one out.
Yeah, and so just on Dusty, you know, it really shows you how much of a difference role change makes. Like, he's been, you know, pretty putrid from a fantasy perspective all year. And then, you know, Jack Ross goes down, who's been, you know, really serviceable in that Richmond midfield all year, goes down, and everyone, well, personally, like, I thought Jack Higgins and a couple of others were going to see a lift in midfield minutes. But actually, Hardwick, for quarters 1, 3, and 4, just placed Dusty in the middle. And he was awesome. Like, he back to Dusty of 2017, just great numbers there, and he looked like one of the premier midfielders in the comp. I think that because Hardwick likes Dusty forward, he'll probably move forward as soon as Ross is back. But, you know, if any other coach, any other besides Bevo, any other coach would keep him would keep him in the mid, because he's genuinely one of the best midfielders in the comp. The other thing that I noticed, actually, and it's, you know, one that's probably going to hurt people a fair bit in their ruck department if they had him, was, of course, big boy McAvoy going down with an ankle injury. It doesn't look good. The footage looks awful. There's going to be scans tomorrow, but I wouldn't expect him back for, you know, mid to long term, probably 6 weeks.
Yeah, on the ruck front, on the other side as well, we saw Nank go down for 6 to 8 weeks with an injury last week, and we saw Ivan Soldo come in, as well as Noah Bolter sort of sharing that ruck duty. Both put up pretty nice Supercoach numbers, actually. Noah Bolter dropped a ton with 101, and Soldo 98, as well as dropping in the 70s, both of them for the fantasy and Supercoach formats. Could they be nice streaming options whilst we've got Nank down, do you think?
I wouldn't touch him, and only because they didn't have... Like, they versed Segler for most of the match with Big Boy down in the second quarter, and they, you know, they were able to put up decent numbers. If anything, I'd have a look at maybe Segler while McAvoy's down.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I think we're on to the last game of round 9. Steve, you checked out the GWS-Carlton game, and the Statesman isn't here, but I'll do it for him. Toby Green is a gun.
There was a lot of players turn up in this match for GWS. I actually thought Harry McKay did pretty amazingly for Carlton to get a Supercoach ton. Well done to that young man. But my God, what a procession this was! I don't take a heap away from this game. Like, it's, what do you say? I mean, Zach Williams got injured. I mean, that's interesting. Mark Murphy
died.
It was bad. Mumford might be in trouble for it. I don't know. That's one for the video to look at. But again, it's just, what do you look at? Like, in GWS have got Melbourne next week, and then I think Gold Coast the week after. So, I mean, if Finlayson's still floating around your waiver wire for some unknown reason, by all means, pick him up. Whatever. Like, because key forwards are smashing Melbourne. I'd certainly just be looking at grabbing GWS players, because they got some wins coming up. And we'll talk about the waivers later, I guess, for GWS, but there's some options with Zach Williams possibly missing time.
Yeah, just like to your opinion as well on how Dalidz looked in his return. Kick three snags, was playing pretty much up forward, I think.
Yeah, pretty much permanently inside 50. A couple of the goals were opportunistic. Kicked a ripping goal from outside 50 on a nice mark. He's a smart player. He'll find space. Hard to predict him scoring these sort of numbers each week. I think it was just a level of opposition where everyone sort of kicked three goals. I guess you could argue Toby Green, 34 touches, did get some run up the ground, but Canelio's missing. Like, I don't think that's going to continue. I traded for Canelio actually in my home league this week. I think he's a ripping target. I feel like the only reason he was spending any time forward was the hand and the players who were missing. Those players are all back. He is not going to be out of that midfield once he's back and fit.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, well, coming up next, it's our waiver wire pickups, trade of the week, and the captain risky for round 10. But we are chasing down 200 iTunes ratings to get Cam doing the Smirnoff Ice Shoey on the live stream. How close are we getting there, Jono?
We are very close. We are up to 183 ratings. So I think by bye rounds, Cam will be doing that shoey with the Great Northern mixed in as well. So, Cam, get your drinking shoes on.
I love that you just keep throwing that in so that we don't forget. Oh, the Great Northern. Don't forget the Great Northern. No one's forgetting the fucking Great Northern.
I don't know. And it's going to be warm too, just to really add to it.
Now, did you get any... Oh, reviews, yeah, Jono.
Yeah, I'm getting to it. Just, jeez, hold your horses. Couple of reviews this week. We did see the one Steve put up on the Twitter earlier in the week where basically old mate just shit-canned him and doesn't like him.
Read it out, Jono. Read it out. Not everyone's on the Twitters.
I have not saved that one because I'll bring it up in a second.
I'll happily read it out if you want.
All right. Read it out, Doss, because I have a little rebuttal.
Okay, this is from Eagle Rock 2019. Fizzed Out is the title. The Statesman is quality, along with all the lads. Can't cop Dr. Fizz, though. voice is painful and would rival Ray Romano for the most narrow nasal passages in the world. For this reason, I give a 3-star rating for intent of the show and information, but can't completely enjoy it because Fizz is a bit over the top.
I've had sex with your mum.
But we did have a couple of other reviews this week from Josh Don 4. He asked, how good is Dunkley? He just says, great stuff, boys. Makes the Monday drive enjoyable. And Felix 3 Paper, he just says, we're grouse. And the only podcast focusing on draft-based fantasy AFL leagues. The lads give good insights with only slight variability in episode quality, solid floor and a high ceiling. It's not their fault. I'm 0-7 this year. That sounds like someone else in our home league, Steve.
Oh, I did get off the schneid this week.
They
after
did.
My trade. So.
They did. So.
We love you, Joe.
We do.
Okay, on to our waiver wire pickups for the week. Only using players with under 65% ownership on Ultimate Footy. If you're in a shallow league, there are probably better options available. Remember also to keep checking who people are dropping, just in case you can snap up a gem. Cam, what are your waiver wire pickups this week?
I actually think this is a really good week for waivers, just off the top. So there's three in the 30% ownership pool that look decent enough. So I mentioned him last week and he backed it up this week, but Jai Sinkin actually spent, again, a lot more time through the mid, and he pumped out a score with 24 disposals, kicked a snag for 100 AFL fantasy points. And you couple that with 11 contested possessions, you know, that's pretty handy, and he'll sit nicely in your forward line. The second one is you can't pay the Harry Perryman before he gets you to the other side. All right. So 33% owned at the moment. They blitzed Carlton and, you know, Cogs was out, so his score was likely inflated a little bit. But with Zilliams going out, he could be one of the guys who has played a very similar role in the past when he was touted for more midfield time this year, but actually, you know, maybe he's actually just going to go and fill in for where Zilliams was. So he'll probably hold his spot, definitely on my radar at 33%. And finally, Doss, you'll love this one. Rhino Clark, 32% ownership. Could be a handy defender option. I think with Zach Jones going down, he's probably not going to lose his spot anytime soon. And Zach Jones' hammy looks like it could be a 4 to 5 week thing. Get on it for a streamer.
Yes, and Don't Pay the Perryman was one of my favourite songs as a kid, so I definitely enjoyed that there, Cam. Now, Steve, what about you? What are your waiver pickups?
Yeah, I'll go along with Simpkin, and I don't think it's any coincidence that his better scoring has coincided with the return of Garner, who's been spending more time inside forward 50. We've always liked Simpkin, always was able to win his own ball, but now he's getting a better role and certainly putting the score on the board. Charlie Cameron, still only 42% owned. Three of the last four games have been really good. 73 Dream Team, 90 Dream Team, 98 Dream Team. Three Supercoach tons in there as well, if you don't mind. I will say everyone for Geelong. Just pick up everyone from Geelong who's on your waiver wire. They're playing the Gold Coast Suns. I'd expect a bit of a procession there and probably even a couple of Geelong players to rest, although you won't know who they are until 90 minutes before the game time. And even then, once they get put in, they might get taken out again like they're doing the goddamn hokey pokey. Dossie, your boy Bailey Smith, giving him a little bit of a look.
Very nice.
Three of the last four have actually been pretty handy as well. 81 Dream Team and 90 plus in the other two, and some very handy scores in Supercoach, 86 and 100. But 20 disposals, three tackles, lot to like about that sort of those sort of numbers. So I'm certainly interested in that. I will say Colin O'Riordan has Collingwood on deck. It's been a pretty handy matchup for defenders. He's pretty low owned. And if you're in Supercoach, Allaire has just been really, really good and just scared the pants off North Melbourne. They didn't know where to put the ball inside 50 because he was just patrolling it like a machine.
All right, well, I don't really have too much to add there apart from what would Delidio's ownership be like, or did one of you guys mention him?
80-odd percent.
Wow, really?
84%, I think it was, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, probably not that one. Although I would look out in case he gets, well, not this round, obviously, but next time, if he continues to play forward, he could be a little handy forward DPP, especially if they're running with a bit more of that Perryman on the wing as well. All right, well, I do have a few other pickups, though, and it's Dossie's deep keeper sleepers. That's what we're rolling with this week.
I don't have any waiver wire pickups.
Well, you're not on the list here. You've got trade of the week, don't you, or something like that?
Jesus Christ. We got Segler.
Dossie's always just like, all about me.
Shane Edwards is actually a really good super coach one. He is 75% ultimate footy, but that would all be down to keeper leagues. But he's been scoring pretty well in Supercoach the last couple of weeks. And as a mid forward, I'd be looking at him. And with Mitch Lewis going down for Hawthorn, Jared Rufford, 38%. Good comeback in.
Wasn't worth the interruption. But we'll get back to Dossie's deep keeper sleepers. And Bailey Williams, number one, of course, 20.
I don't remember Dossie's deep keeper sleepers being on the run sheet either, mate, to be quite honest.
28 disposals.
Just inserted this segment in.
Sounds like we've got a Dossie's dilemma, guys.
I do have a dilemma. Dossie just freelance.
Look, the dog's lost. It's time. 28 disposals again on the weekend. Wait for it. It's coming.
Zero tackles.
Doesn't matter. There's no problem having zero tackles, just like Dossie on the weekend. All right, Lockie Fogarty, 13 disposals, 15 tackles for Geelong VFL. So deep keeper sleeper, pick him up in your keeper leagues there. I'm talking deep keeper. This is why it's called deep keeper sleepers. And one other one, Braden Sire. If he's available, pick him up this week. 24 disposals and a snag in the VFL. I think it's only a matter of time, and I'd even bloody keep him for the whole season if he doesn't play a game, because I think he's that good for when he comes back. So they're my deep keeper sleepers of the week. It's time for Trade of the Week with Steve.
Steve Canelio. We already spoke about it, actually. Buried that one.
Okay.
Go get Steve Canelio.
Captain Risky, then, with Jono. This is a captain option outside the obvious picks. Who is your Captain Risky for round 10, Jono?
Well, we do have Dreamtime at the G this Saturday night, and we did speak about him earlier, and that is David Zaharakis. In these last five in Supercoach in this against the Tigers, he's gone 122, 87, 111, an injury affected 15, and a 109, and pretty similar in AFL Fantasy, 103, 67, 131, injury affected 12, and a 107 as well. So, yeah, we do know Richmond have been struggling a little bit, been giving up a little bit of midfield points, so I'm liking David Zaharakis to turn up pretty well this week against the Tigers.
All right, if you want more captain options, check out the Draft Doctor's website to find the Statesman Skippers article. Hopefully we'll get one this week, guys. You can also find Cam's Injury Report, a dozen deals by Sam Porter, and Jono's late week pickups, all on the Draft Doctor's website. That's at thedraftdoctors.com.au. You can also find some Draft Doctor's merch up there. My personal favourite being the Go to Rini shirt. It's absolute fire, so jump on there and grab yourself some merch. So onto some questions from social media. You can follow us at The Draft Doctors on Twitter or get us on Facebook and Instagram. So just checking out now. We've got some questions floating in, and Russ wants to know, who's getting more better with age, Mundy or the Statesman? Definitely Mundy.
Mundy.
Without doubt.
He's playing a very nice 69% time on ground every week, so I've got to appreciate that.
What's going to happen with Mundy? Is Blakely back in the team being eased back? Is this going to sort of put, like, what happened from the start of the year in the first few weeks to where he's pumping 120s weekly now?
Just gone ham. I think Mundy's a good sell. Whether you get anything of value, like, I think he'll probably still average, you know, in the 90s, but it's like, depends what you can sell him for. It's going to be league dependent. Like, do you want to swap Mundy for Canelio or Brayshaw? And I reckon you could get him for Brayshaw and something, to be honest.
I mean, it's sort of like looking back to when the Statesman came third overall. That was a perfect sell high opportunity for the Statesman. Now we're sort of stuck with him putting out the average numbers. So maybe sell high on the Mund. Now, next question comes from Brandon. Should I hold or sell Ellis? Dude is playing like a man possessed at the moment.
If it depends where your team's at. If you're winning, and want to upgrade your defence, sell him. If not, hold him, because there's no one coming back in anytime soon for Richmond.
I will tell you what to do. This is the answer. You sell him right around the buys, because Jaden Short is now listed at 5 to 6. So if you can avoid copping a donut around the buys. You've still got another month of rolling Brandon Ellis out. He's been awesome. I don't expect him to lose his spot. And look, he might even keep his spot if Jaden Short, like he might just keep Jaden Short out of the team. But that's a situation I'd monitor.
Yeah, definitely hold for a little longer while there's people out. With Jaden Short, if he is somehow being dropped on your league and you've got some real good bench spots there, I think in the next week would be when to pick him up if you can stash him, because I'm still pretty high on him when he comes back being a reasonable scorer. And if anyone's dropped him, needed to, then could be worth the risk there.
Well, I think that's going to depend on your buys though, Dossie, because like, say in our home league with me and Jono, we play a final six, and he's going to miss the buys, and you're only rolling out a four-man bench. You really can't afford to have guys who you know are going to miss all three in the team unless they're a gun. So I'd be... It's going to be league-dependent, that's
yeah.
All
right, fair enough.
It's like Hannes as well is in the same sort of boat.
Yeah, but Hannes is going to pump out like 60, so it's a bit different to my boy Short putting out 90s. Andrew.
What if he doesn't get in the team, though? Yeah.
Point taken. Andrew.
Like everyone else you'd like.
Can we get to... Andrew wants to know. Need some free agency steals for the forward line in AFL Fantasy. Any trends emerging or players improving that are worth picking up? Alternatively, any potential forward DPP adds in the coming DPP rounds?
Did he would get forward status last go?
He's already got it in AFL Fantasy.
I think Simpkins is a nice pickup like we sort of spoke about. I think Charlie Cameron's a really nice pickup. We've seen him be very relevant before. There are
Segler for the next few weeks.
If you use the fantastic product over at dtlive.com.au, they do a lot of great sortable stuff where you can search what positions are scoring well against whichever teams. I use it a lot. I use it to help me. If you don't want to ask us questions and stuff like that on Twitter, I would certainly recommend using it. So if you're looking for matchups sort of stuff to stream, fantastic tool.
Okay, awesome. Anything else we want to talk about? Stevie, you're coming to Adelaide pretty soon, aren't you?
I'll be testicles deep in pie floaters in less than a week, and I can't be more excited about it. Get to hang out with my old mate Dossie and see the beautiful city that is Adelaide.
Awesome. All right. Well, I think that's it for the show. Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. Check us out on Twitter at The Draft Doctors and, of course, the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. Let's get that shoey for Cam. What do we got? 17 ratings. Let's get it done. Let's get Cam doing that shoey. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.